Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Jeskowitz, please.
7:11 PM.
Thank you. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on June 16, 2016. Faxing to 3 newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, the Express Times. Also posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, and the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Jeskowitz, may we please have a roll call?
Mrs. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin? Mrs. Hand?
Here.
Mrs. McHugh? Mrs. Olowski?
Here.
Mr. Petuto?
Here.
Mrs. Rudelgoda? Mr. Sturgis? And Ms. Vanderhoff?
Here.
Thank you. Mrs. Vanderhoff, can you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance,
sure.
please?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Petuto, would you please be the process guardian for this evening's meeting?
Certainly.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Jeskowitz, can you please read the executive session passage?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act NJSA 10:4-6 et sec. requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12B sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any material, the disclosure of which constitutes an unwarranted invasion of individual privacy, such as any records, data, reports, recommendations, or other personal material of any educational training, social service, medical health, custodial, child protection, rehabilitation, legal defense, welfare, housing, relocation, insurance, and similar program or institution operated by a public body pertaining to any specific individual admitted to or served by such institution or program, including but not limited to information relative to the individual's personal and family circumstances, and any material pertaining to admission, discharge, treatment, progress, or condition of any individual, unless the individual concerned, or in the case of a minor or incompetent, his guardian, shall request in writing that the same be disclosed publicly. The nature of the matter, described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, is residency. And whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion, or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee, or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting, subject to the balancing the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights under South Jersey Publishing Company versus New Jersey Expressway Authority, 124 NJ 478, the employees and nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without the undermining the need for confidentiality is personnel, and whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Formal action may be taken.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskowitz. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now in executive session. Motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is reconvened. Mr. Jeskowitz, time, please.
It is 8:03.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the monthly meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, June 20th, 2016. Tonight we have a very special presentation to make. This evening is the final board meeting of our superintendent, Dr. Drusilla Clark. Dr. Clark is retiring from the Clinton Township School District after serving our community for 4 years, and as I mentioned, tonight will be her last meeting. Since the beginning of her tenure, the Board of Education has seen a steady improvement in our students' overall academic achievement, staff's performance, and community relations, and in both internal and external communication. Parents and staff members are more confident in our school district today than they were in prior years. The entire Board of Education would like to thank Dr. Clark for her hard work and dedication to the Clinton Township School District and to our community. We wish her the best of luck, happiness, and health as she embarks on her new journey into retirement. We hope that she spends many wonderful hours with her grandchildren, her husband George, and the rest of her family. And as tradition has it, when a board member either retires or superintendent or BA, we have a gift. So we'd like to give Dr. Clark the picture, framed picture of the Red Schoolhouse.
Thank you.
Mom, you just have to find some walls.
You're going to the ceiling now.
We built a house that we're moving to that's a very open concept with very few walls. And then all I've done is bought artwork and pictures for my husband to find a place to hang them. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I do have a speech, but I'll do later.
Okay. I'm shocked, but okay. Moving on now to the report of the superintendent, Dr. Clark.
Thank you. Enrollment report is holding steady at 1416. We do have a suspension report, 1 half-day out-of-school suspension at Round Valley School, and 1 one-day out-of-school suspension at CTMS. We have a HIB report at Patrick McGarren. We had 4 incidents, investigations. 4 were unfounded. At Round Valley, we had 2. 2 were unfounded. At Spruce Run, we had 1. 1 was unfounded. At Clinton Township Middle School, we had 1, and 1 was founded. We had on our agenda a kindergarten presentation by Melissa Gold, our Spruce Run principal, but she fell ill this afternoon and could not be here. So it is not canceled, it's postponed, and will be rescheduled at a future date by our new superintendent, Dr. Vallon. I do want to share with you Wordmaster results at Round Valley School. We had 2 teams representing Round Valley School recently that earned the highest honors in the 2015-16 Wordmasters Challenge, a national vocabulary competition involving nearly 150,000 students annually. The 6th grade team scored an impressive 188 points out of a possible 200 in the last of 3 meets this year, placing 1st in the nation. In addition, the 4th grade team finished 5th nationwide with a score of 189 points. In the overall competition, 3 meets, the 6th grade team again finished 1st in the nation with a cumulative score of 554 points out of a possible 600. And the 4th graders placed 7th nationally with 547 points. Competing in the difficult blue division of the Word Masters Challenge, fourth graders Alex Domogalski and Selena Shang and sixth graders Rhythm Kumar and Sophia Wright, Addison Schmidt and Prima Shankar each earned a perfect score of 20 in the recent meet. Nationally, only 60 fourth graders and 15 sixth graders achieved this result. Other students at Round Valley School who achieved outstanding results in the last meet of the year include fourth graders Leo Booth, Amelia Chapman, Lily Fasciano, Elise Neiman, and Paul Yanko, and sixth graders Nathan Gilvey, Emma Komprowski, and Samantha Thompson. In addition, the following students qualified for individual highest honors, earning cumulative scores that place them within the top 10 to 15 students in their respective divisions. Fourth grader Selena Zhang, 58 points. Fifth grader Janie M, 56 points. And sixth graders Pranar Shankar, 60 points. Addison Schmidt, 57 points. Nathan Gilby, 56 points. Rhythm Kumar, 56 points. And Sophia Reich, 56 points. Prerna was the only sixth grader in the nation to earn a perfect score on all three tests. The students were coached in preparation for the Word Master Challenge. Once again, I'm announcing wonderful things happening in our buildings. By Renee Sila and and the fourth and fifth and sixth grade teachers. Congratulations. Once again, you've made us proud. Thank you. I also want to say a little thank you. It's short.
I'm shocked.
So I'd like to say thank you to the Board of Education and the greater community of Clinton Township. It has been 4 years filled with opportunity and working with wonderful people. The staff is hardworking and caring. The students are smart and interesting and full of fun. The parents care deeply about their children and the opportunities we offer. The community itself is active, busy, and filled with volunteers who work to make a difference. Each of the board members demonstrates attention to detail, humor, a strong work ethic, intelligence, and a caring about the community itself, as well as about the future of the schools and the programs we offer. They face challenges with gusto and never shrink from a tough decision. I respect their ability to see issues in black and white precision and act on them with care. Being a member of the Board of Education is not easy. There is no pay and there are no perks. No one is ever happy with your decisions. You miss family time for committee and board meetings. You cannot speak about your decisions because you are held to confidentiality and so must keep your mouth closed when all about you are speaking. Some days are hard, but some days give a great feeling of satisfaction when a job is well done, students achieve, and the buses run on time. I thank you for choosing me to be your superintendent. I am sure I have tried your soul on more than a few occasions. But my husband does make good fudge, and that's probably the only real perk to this job.
That's a good perk.
As I look back over bus trials and concerts and long meetings, I am still glad I came to Clinton Township. It was my honor and pleasure. I do have one request, though, as I leave. Do not assume everything will always be okay. It takes hard work, but it takes attention too. It takes more than a few who attend these meetings regularly, or even those who listen to the audio, or the 9 board members who sit here each month. A town becomes special over time. Schools gain or lose a reputation over time. It is the history of those that came before and made a difference. Do not be complacent. Clinton Township is a great place to live for many reasons, but one of the most important is because the schools draw people in. Like a fruitful garden, schools must be tended to with care and love. Don't assume it will all be fine no matter what. Pay attention and make sure your garden grows to be fruitful for the children of this town. We all have a responsibility to the greater good. What you do and say in the coming years ahead will make a difference. My husband and I thank you for the opportunity to be part of something special here. We wish it continued growth and beauty. Thank you, Clinton Township. Thank you. So we have a board meeting to go to.
Moving on.
Wait, where's the fudge?
George, you gotta get home and bring it back later.
Next Christmas, we'll send some.
Gosh, that's a long ways away. Okay, moving on, please. I'm looking for a motion for action item 16-SU-019, please.
Motion.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Dr. Clark? Seeing none, Mr. Jeskowitz, please have a roll call.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Rudelgota?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Jeskowitz. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question, they'll be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. To the extent that any other action is warranted, it will be addressed by the Board President or Superintendent of Schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the Board this evening on agenda items, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes. Anyone like to address the board this evening? No? Seeing none, then I'd like to close the floor on agenda items only and open the floor to the first recognition of the public. Same guidelines that I just spoke about regarding agenda items only apply here as well. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes.
Hi, Ellen Sedberry, 21 Andrea Drive in Annandale.
I need to get closer?
Yeah, there you go.
Is that better? I'm really so loud.
Is that working or the other side?
Oh, it's this one. Oh, I'm a rock star. Ellen Sidbury, 21 Andrea Drive in Annandale. I'm also a teacher here. And Christine Lodato.
Christine Lodato. I live in Allentown, Pennsylvania.
We just wanted to get up and introduce ourselves. We're the new co-presidents for the CTEA, and we look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you. We're looking forward to working with you as well. Thank you.
Hello, my name is John Rivers, 1 St. Andrews Lane in Annandale. I'd like to just ask a question, if I could, about, I'm not sure if it's a page, but the question has to do with Jerry Waldron and what's going to be discussed about him tonight. So is it appropriate to ask the question now? Or is it appropriate to ask the question after you guys have talked about it?
Well, we can certainly hear your question, and we're not sure that we'll be able to answer it.
Understood.
Or not. It's a personnel question, but you can ask.
Yeah, so given that this is, we've put Mr. Waldron, first of all, I know Mr. Waldron on a personal and a professional level, having worked with him in the past. And I just have a question about, what it is that he's been accused of and what is the unacceptable performance, given that we're putting this out in the public. I want to make sure that that a fair and honest investigation has been done into what he's being accused of. And I saw this in the agenda, and I'm saying to myself, if we're going to bring somebody's name in public, I want to make sure that there's no personal vendettas, or this is not about something that would be coming from out of school that is causing this action to be taken, and the fact that a good man's name is being put into the public offering.
Do you have any other questions, sir?
Well, I'd like to know, I guess, what this is all about, and I want to make sure that the process has been fair, mm-hmm. and that that it's not driven by any outside activity of a personal nature that you or someone else on the board may have.
So my name is Vito Gagliardi. I'm the attorney for the Board of Education. I'm going to do my best to answer your question in a way that doesn't compromise the rights that any employee has to have details of personnel issues maintained as confidential. So the details that you seek are not appropriate as a matter of law for public discussion. I can say a couple of things which may help you in terms of what you're thinking. So the Board of Education does not direct any evaluation or inquiry into any personnel matter. The Board of Education can only act on a personnel matter upon the recommendation of the Chief School Administrator, who is obviously seated to my right. So the Board is receiving a recommendation on which it can act. Would be inappropriate for the board to be involved with any evaluation or investigation. So to the extent your question was directed at, I think your question was there anyone on the board who was involved in this? The board's involvement begins this evening because the board can only act when something is brought before it. The board can't bring personnel matters before itself. The only other thing I think it would be appropriate to say is that you raised a question about process. Any teacher or administrator who would be subject of an action like this brought before the Board of Education is a member of a collective bargaining unit and or has access to counsel through their associations. No objection to the process which leads the board to the action being recommended this evening no objection to that process has been filed by either council or association. I don't know what's going to happen going forward, but your concern about is the process fair? No one far more familiar with the process than the general public, no one familiar with the process has lodged an objection about that process. So I hope that's responsive.
Well, but no one has lodged an objection about the process. The question is, do they know what the process is?
What I'm saying is that any employee, again, I'm trying to get away from this and just talking generally so that you understand.
Well, I don't think we should get away from it, because you're taking a teacher name and putting it out in the public, and we all know too often that we're guilty until proven innocent, so to speak. So here we got a guy's name here, and are the allegations or whatever founded or unfounded against him in terms of, you know, why is he subject to some action here? Is it an unfounded or is it a founded action?
Well, again, you said you know the individual, so you're certainly free to ask him these questions, and he's free to share whatever information with you that he wants. Mm-hmm. The Board of Education doesn't have that luxury and cannot discuss publicly the events that have led the administration to make that.
But you can put it on the public agenda, you're just not allowed to discuss it.
The board's vote is required. So it's not as if there's something public that could have been done privately. Action by the board is required.
So this could not have been taken offline?
Correct.
Right.
Correct. There are certain personnel actions that the superintendent can recommend and on which the board must vote. This happens to be one of those.
So what we can assume here is that he was accused of something, and it was found by the powers that be within y'all that he is, I don't know if the word guilty is the appropriate word.
You're not going to get me to engage in that debate. All I'm going to say is that whatever fact...
But you're accusing him of doing something inappropriate, and you're introducing it in a public forum, but people can't make... you guys can make a decision, but the public can't.
Right.
You know, so you get that's all correct. This stuff that's swirling around with all of these crazy people, forgive me for saying that, on the internet and Facebook and all the other stuff, besmirching this guy's reputation, when no one really knows for certain, except for you guys, whether this is true or not.
Yes.
What a world we live in, huh?
If people feel that their rights are violated, there are many vehicles available to them. Facebook and the internet do not concern me, because those are not the vehicles I'm talking about.
Well, but what concerns me, my friend, is that you got the guy's name here in a public forum.
I understand what concerns you. This is obviously not a forum for a debate. You ask questions. I've answered the questions, hopefully to your satisfaction, but if not, there's nothing further that can be said about this without violating the rights that we have to respect.
Okay.
Would anyone else like to address the board this evening?
Hello, Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. First off, on behalf of the parents, I want to say thank you. You can hear?
Yep.
I want to say, on behalf of parents that are here, thank you so much for your 4 years of your dedication and the hard work that you've put into the schools, and we really appreciate it. Second off, I would like to mention to anyone that's here that the town council has put on their agenda that they are looking to have a discussion about the school board, I'm assuming moving the election to November and getting rid of our 2% cap and whatnot. So if anyone's interested to go on Wednesday at 7 p.m. on the building on 31, that'll be there. And lastly, on the ones that were sent out for first reading, are we now moving our preschool program to a 4-year-old program? Because In the first reading of the public, 5111, it said preschool, and it said that you have to be 4 on or before October 1st. And in previous years, it's been 3 on or before October 1st. Not, I understand there's the IEP ones, but there's also when my oldest daughter, who did not have an IEP, she just had to be 3 to get into the program. So that was just something I had a question on.
And,
okay, so then that just needs to be adjusted on the policy. Because it says 4 as of now. So otherwise, I think that's everything. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board this evening? No, seeing none, I would like to please move on to the report of our business administrator, board secretary, Mr. Juskowitz, please.
The date of the Board of Education's next regular meeting is scheduled for Monday, July 25th, 2016 at 7:30 p.m. in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School. Bus evacuation drills were conducted in May, and they were successful at the Round Valley School and the Spruce Run School, including the pre-K on Tuesday, May 17th, 2016. Also, one bus from Spruce Run School conducted their drill on May 18th, 2016. The drills were also conducted successfully at the Clinton Township Middle School and Patrick McGarren School on Wednesday, May 18th, 2016. Lastly, School Board candidate kits are available and the petitions are due July 27th, 2016 at 4 p.m. in the county electoral office. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Juskowitz. I'm looking for a motion, please, for action item 16BA037 to action item 16BA039, please.
So moved.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Juskowitz, please? Seeing none, Mr. Juskowitz, may we have a roll call, please, sir?
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Petuto?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. Rugoda?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, sir. Moving on to the reports of our committees. We'll start with Facilities and Finance. Mr. John Petuto is the chair of that committee. Mr. Petuto, can we have the report of your committee, sir?
Certainly. So our committee met last Tuesday to review numerous topics which led to the 76, thanks AJ, action items that appear on tonight's agenda. Though we obviously have a significant list of action items tonight, they are largely all grouped into several categories, including the usual payment of bills, requests for travel, and gradual course approval. Another category which makes up the majority of tonight's action items relates to the renewal of contracts that were previously awarded by the Board of Ed, or the award of contracts to new vendors. This is a typical occurrence during our June Board of Ed meetings as the school year and the contract terms draw to a close. The contracts cover such items as legal and auditing services, student transportation, food services, district engineering services, and wastewater treatment operator services, among others. We also have numerous action items that relate to the approval of tuition rates for district students attending schools outside of our district. There are three other related action items that I would like to expand on tonight, beginning with action item 16, FF289. This item approves an increase of the 2015-16 budget in the amount of just over $369,000. The funds were appropriated from our capital reserve account to pay for several projects, including the ongoing wastewater treatment process upgrades at several of our schools. Action item 16FF291 will return funds to our CAP reserve account to pay for a number of anticipated projects for the next school year. As you'll see, we are replenishing the CAP reserve account by an estimated amount of $850,000. These funds will be applied against such projects as a continued brick repointing project that is currently underway at Patrick McGarren Spruce Run and here at CTMS. Other anticipated projects include window replacements at Round Valley, masonry waterproofing at all district schools, a water softening system for all district schools, and a bleacher replacement project at Round Valley. With action item 16 FF292, That relates to the replenishment of the maintenance reserve account for an estimated amount of $350,000. Similar to the cap reserve replenishment, the replenishment of the maintenance reserve account will ensure we have enough funds for any and all maintenance issues that arise during the next school year. As an example of some of those typical maintenance items, during the 2015 and 16 school year, we had projects dealing with roof repairs, sidewalk, driveway, and parking lot crack repairs, various lighting repairs, playground repairs, numerous wastewater treatment plant maintenance items, and repairs on fire alarm panels. Again, this is just an example of some of the maintenance that we went through last year. Please note that neither action item 291 or 292 will result in an increase to the 2016-17 budget. This is simply the movement of existing funds into those respective reserve accounts, which will be utilized at a future date. Finally, action item 16FF315 lists all the authorized signatures for money market, checking, and savings account. So with that, I'd like to put forward a motion for the approval of all 76 action items between 16FF240 through 16FF315.
Thank you, Mr. Pattudo. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Mr. Pattudo this evening?
I have a couple questions. On action item 16FF243, I noted that one teacher was attending Colorado State University. So I wanted to know, as per the negotiated agreement, does that mean they're traveling to Colorado, or is that
no,
an online? So online courses are considered to be?
As long as there's certificate, okay. Yes.
And then on FF291, where you talked about future capital projects, I know that we must have some kind of a, you know, we have a five-year plan, I think it is. Is anywhere on that plan to look at the scoreboards in the gym at CTMS? Because I know that they've had ongoing issues with them.
Right now, no. That if there's something like that would need to be addressed, we'd probably address it through the maintenance reserve, but the problem was the controller was not functioning right. We've sent it out for repair, and we should get that back hopefully sometime in July.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions for Mr. Pattudo, please? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Pattudo?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Hand?
Abstain.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. Rudel-Goda?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Juskowitz. Moving on to our Committee for Personnel Negotiations. Ms. Vanderhoff is the chair of that committee. Ms. Vanderhoff, may we have the report of your committee, please?
Yes, the Personnel Committee met also last week, and we actually only have 45 items on the agenda tonight.
Slapper.
Almost half of what Facilities and Finance had. They are items 16-PN-214 to 16-PN-229, and then 16-PN-231. To 16-PN-260. The majority of the appointments are appointments, majority of the items, the agenda items, are appointments for next year's school year, 2016-17. Appointments for admin support, secretarial, custodians, student teachers, part-time nurse assistants, lunch aides, and then substitute nurse assistants and lunch aides, substitute secretary, substitute bus aides, as well as bus aid. So that's the majority of the action items on here. We also have home instruction. There's an agenda item was provided from May 10th to June 10th, so we wanted to update that. We also are providing IEP help in the summer. Two teachers are providing IEP help. There are extended school year program updates, about four of them on the agenda. Agenda item 16-PN-227 has 22 position changes and transfers for the 2016-2017 school year. There are four disability and leave of absences mentioned on the agenda. There are three resignations, Carmen Curci from CTMS is resigning, as well as Brittany Tannis from Spruce Run School and Brenda Butler, who is a lunch aide. And there is one building change for a custodian. We also have five amendments to previous action items from previous agendas that are on this agenda this month, and there are two summer help amendments as well for 5 hours per week. That's on the agenda. And finally, there's one pay adjustment that's increment that's being withheld for the 2016-2017 school year. So with that, I'd like to put forward a motion for agenda items 16-PN-214 to 16-PN-229, as well as 16-PN-231 to 16-PN-260.
Thank you, Ms. Vanderhoff. Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Second, Mrs. Hand. Any questions for Mrs. Vanderhoff this evening?
I have one on 16-PN-259. Does this bring about a change to Mr. Waldron's status with the board?
I didn't hear that question. I'm sorry.
Can you say it again, please?
Yeah, sorry. It's on 16-PN-259. I asked if this brings about a change to Mr. Waldron's status with the board.
Mr. Cagliardi, would you answer that question, please?
Yeah. I guess the short answer to that question is no, right? The staff member is a tenured teacher that this board at a previous meeting voted to suspend. Therefore, the employee remains exactly that unless and until this board takes action publicly to change that status. So this is simply relating to the salary the employee will be paid during the 16-17 school year, and that's all it does.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions on personnel?
A quick one, and I apologize if I missed it, but 230, are we skipping that, or was it removed? 16-PN-230.
It was removed for tonight.
Okay, sorry.
Any other questions? No, seeing none, may we please have a roll call, Mr. Juskowitz?
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Mrs. Hand.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes to all, except I'm going to abstain on PN-227.
Mrs. Orlowski.
Yes.
Mr. Petuto.
Yes.
Mrs. Rugoda.
Yes.
Mrs. Grant.
Yes to all, but I'm going to abstain on 227 and 259, please.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Final report committees this evening is our policy and curriculum. Ms. McLaughlin is the chair of that particular committee. Ms. McLaughlin, may we have your report, please?
Yes, I was unfortunately not able to go to the policy and curriculum meeting this month, so I have cliff notes. There are a few action items to move tonight. The board is going to be approving the district mentor plan for the 2016-17 year. We're going to be approving a contract with staff development workshops for kindergarten through third grade teachers next year. We're going to be approving a additional professional development opportunity for literacy with coaching for fourth and fifth grade teachers. We're authorizing some summer work around next generation science standards and the Go Math in Part content framework. We will also be approving summer math articulation and CBI training, and we will be approving a trip by the eighth grade law students in October with Ms. Cormican to present their case, which they were very successful this year in getting a lot of accolades. We're going to be, I'm not moving, just for the board's edification, 53 and 54, which are the policies, because the board needs more time to look at those. So with that being said, I'm going to move action item 16 PC 52, 15 PC 55 through 15 PC 59.
Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Mr. Petuto. Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin this evening? Seeing none, Mr. Juskowitz, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Petuto.
Yes.
Mrs. Hand.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. Orlowski.
Yes.
Mrs. Rudelgoda.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Mrs. Grant.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. We have one ad hoc committee, currently the feasibility of closing a school, and that committee does not have a report this evening. So with that said, I'd like to move on to old business of the Board of Education. This portion of our meeting is for the board members to ask questions about old business of the board on school-related matters only. It's not a time to make personal statements. Rather, it is a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to the business of the board. Let's start with Mrs. McLaughlin. Ms. McLaughlin is our rep for Hunterdon County School Boards Association. She's our liaison. Mrs. McLaughlin, do you have anything to report this evening?
I do not have any report at this time.
Thank you very much. Any members have anything to say about any old business you'd like to bring up? No? Seeing on, we'll move on to old business. Same parameters that I just mentioned for new business apply to for old business, apply to new business as well. Any board members have any new business they'd like to bring up? Mr. Petito?
I do. It's actually an interesting little story. Several weeks ago, I was asked to speak to a number of Cub Scouts. They are part of PAC 190 here in Clinton Township. One of the projects they were doing was to speak to a representative of the local government. So my neighbor happens to be the PAC leader, and he asked me to speak to the boys. I didn't really know what to expect because these are, you know, 8-9-year-old boys, rather rambunctious. And I met them at a ballpark right next to the library. And I was amazed at how many questions they had right out of the gate about what it means to be a member of the Board of Ed. So they were very inquisitive. They were actually really attentive to the discussion that we had. There were parents on hand as well that were also listening intently and actually asked a few questions. Excuse me. And what I thought might be a 10-minute conversation met with crickets was actually an hour-long, good two-way conversation with a lot of interested boys. And at the very end of the night, I said, so who wants to be a member of the Board of Ed when they're eligible? And they all raised their hands. So it was really good. I invited them all to come to a future board meeting and to ask the rest of the board any questions they may have. So hopefully we'll see them sometime.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. Petito.
Sure.
Any other new business, Ms. McLaughlin?
I have a couple of issues to bring up. I think that one of the important roles on the Board of Education is to recognize achievement, whether it be student achievement or staff achievement. And I would like to propose to the board that starting next year, we have a new tradition of recognizing retirees. I think it's very important that we recognize the work that people who have dedicated their career to us should be recognized for that. And so I'd like to talk about that come the fall on which, you know, which would be the best way to honor the retirees. I've seen it done where the retirees are invited and they're presented with a certificate. I'm not sure, you know, what exactly this board would like to do, but I think that they should be recognized. And we have several people retiring this year. In addition, we have several people who have been staff members for a very long time here that are unfortunately leaving the district. So I think it's important to recognize them in some capacity. And the second thing I want to bring up is academic student achievement. One of the main reasons to be a board member is to ensure that the students in your community are successful. And as you know, we often don't hear all the time in the public all the great things that our students are doing because many people who come to us just want to tell us about the problems that they have. And so I think it's important that we recognize students. I had the opportunity to attend one of the recent awards assemblies. I think all of the board members should try to attend each year, and I think they should be invited to all the events. So I want to remind teachers to invite the board members, because when we can come, we like to come to those events. And it got me thinking about achievements that are unrecognized by us. And one thing that I think our board doesn't do a good job of is recognizing kids that make the honor roll. Kids are listed on the report card as having the honor roll, and whether it's the just honor roll or high honors, but there's no recognition of achievement in terms of their name being read or certificate being issued. And I think that that's something that students should be recognized for, their hard work and dedication. And oftentimes we have students who maybe are not the smartest student in their class, but they're most hardworking. And because of their hard work, they've been able to maintain their grades and get on the honor roll. So I would like in the future to, for us as a district to consider recognizing students on the honor roll as well. So those are two things I would like to think about over the summer and propose that we institute in the fall.
Thank you, Ms. Glock. Very good ideas. Thank you. Any other new business? No? Okay. I'd like to open the floor then to our second recognition of the public. This section is for members of the public to express themselves on school matters of community interest. We'll follow the same outline and guidelines as detailed in the first public comment section on agenda items only. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address, be limiting this public comment section to 20 minutes.
Hi, Renee Seeloff, Round Valley School. I just have a question in regards to what was asked earlier this evening. And looking at today's agenda and an agenda that was done on April 25th, why was an employee name used instead of an employee number used, which is usually what we do in the past? I was just curious as an employee of Clinton Township why that was. I don't know if you can address that or not.
The board has to take action publicly, whether the board uses names, initials, numbers, whatever. I've seen it done many different ways. Why agendas are listed a certain way or not, I don't know. The nature of what led the board to word the resolutions a certain way would probably be inappropriate for a public discussion.
Okay, thank you.
Hi again, Christine Lodato, Allentown, Pennsylvania. I have a question about what Mrs. Seeloff just spoke about. So then why was the agenda changed from his initials to his full name? So first it was his initials, and then the agenda was unavailable for a few hours today, and then his full name was written on the agenda.
The agenda was posted incorrectly. There were a number of errors. The agenda was corrected, and it didn't post to the corrections. It posted to a working copy instead of the working agenda, the real agenda. So we had to pull it down and repost it.
So that's why it went from his initials to his full name?
Yes.
Okay.
John Rivers on St. Andrew's Lane in Annandale. So I want to make sure I understood you, sir. The board has the choice, correct me if I'm wrong, sir. The board has the choice of listing a name, listing a number, or just using initials?
Sure.
So the board collectively, or is it one person that gets to make the decision as to whether or not the name or the number is used?
Like I said, the reason the agenda was written a certain way would not be appropriate for public discussion.
So you mentioned also before, the first step was about Mr. Waldron's employment and adjustment Ingram, but if there was a change of status, that could be brought up again, correct?
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Yeah,
your question,
you mentioned before about this first step here, whatever has taken place about Mr. Waldron, but that if there was a change of status, it could be brought up again. And would that be at that point? Would that be available for public discussion also?
So, if and when there's a change in his status, that must be brought before the Board of Education. So that won't happen in the dark of night. You'll know about it.
Okay. So coming back to the initial of the name, the board has a choice of how to list it, right? And the board chose to list the name rather than the number.
Any of those options is lawful.
Excuse me, sir?
Any of those options is lawful.
It's lawful, okay. Okay, so what happens is his name goes into public. Nobody knows if the guy is, quote, guilty or not guilty of what he's being accused of. We can't know that. Only you can know that, right?
Sir, I don't think if you read what's before the board, there's an accusation of anything.
Well, wait a second. He's being recommended as employment adjust due to unacceptable performance. What would you call that, sir? Unacceptable performance.
I would say that it's a reference to unacceptable performance.
So is that an what would that be? Would that be offering a guy high praise on something or not?
As I said earlier, I'm not going to debate with you. I think it's the words are what they are. I wouldn't call that an accusation. I wouldn't call it condemnation. I would call it public action required by the Board of Education, and I wouldn't call it any more than that.
All right, and I'll just end my comment by saying you guys collectively all ought to be ashamed of yourself for choosing to list the name than to list an initial or not even an initial. That's ridiculous also. An employee number. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Anyone else like to address the board? Seeing none, I'll close the floor on second recognition of the public. Mr. Juskowitz, can you please read the executive session statement, sir?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Baer, Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, etc., requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12B sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend, and whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12B to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body, unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting, subject to the balancing the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights, under South Jersey Publishing Company versus New Jersey Expressway Authority, 124 NJ 478, the employees and nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality or the superintendent's evaluation and personnel, and whereas any collective bargaining agreement or terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement, including the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representative of employees of the public body. The collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association and the Clinton Township Administration Association. And whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is the attorney-client privilege, personnel negotiations, and superintendent's evaluation. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 90 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons, and be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Juskowitz. I'm looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Mrs. Rivera. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're now in executive session. Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? I'm looking for a motion, please, to adjourn this meeting.
Motion.
Second?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.